Spirit break out.
Hallelujah.
Break our walls down.
Break our walls down.
Hallelujah. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Spirit break out. Break our walls down.
Break our walls down.
Spirit break out. Heaven come down.
One more time.
Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out.
Amen.
Heaven come down.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. We worship you, Lord. Lead the word, Lord, and give us your heart. Help us to learn something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I just wanted that song to come out because that word said, break our walls down. Amen.
Amen.
So when we started this end time message, we know that the Lord is looking for sons. He's going to make us sons of God. We are growing from glory, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen? And that is the goal of the believers. Our goal is to arrive at that fullness of the stature of Christ. But what is this fullness of the stature of Christ? It's what the Lord has been talking to us about for some time. And it is the fullness of complete yieldedness, like our Lord Jesus Christ yielded. Complete yieldedness, like our Lord Jesus Christ yielded. Amen? That is, we are to be, he said, Spirit, break our walls down. Break our walls down, which means we have some walls that we need the Lord to break down in our life. Praise the Lord. So I was meditating on that. I said, Lord, and the Lord said, read this story of this rich man. You remember the story of a rich man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, you know the laws, the commandments. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not steal. And that man said, all these have I kept since my youth. And then the thought came to me that, look at this man, he said he kept all these things, which means somehow inside him he knew something is still missing. Something is still missing. And let me think, you think about that also. If you talk about holiness, we that are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and all the Pharisees in the days of Jesus Christ, they were also believing that they have all these things together because they have this, don't do this, don't do that. Do this, do that. That is works of righteousness. But they couldn't see this supernatural that the Lord Jesus Christ started manifesting. Look at ourselves. We can say, wait a minute, what else do we lack, Lord? Why are all these mighty wonders not manifesting? The body of Christ has been searching for that for some time. And the Lord Jesus Christ actually said, the days will come when you shall desire to see the days of the Son of Man again. Which means many of the believers since the time of the apostles have been wondering, where is this power again? Why are we not seeing it like the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated? And Christ said, ye, the greater works. Everybody saw the greater works. And I was meditating on that. I said, Lord, like that rich man, he knew something is not there. Something is still missing. And then the Lord showed to us that we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal. But are we there yet? And what is this fullness of the stature of Christ? And he said, it's that total yieldedness, total brokenness. That's why I like that word. He said, break our walls down. And I remember preaching this recently, not this particular sermon, in one of those Friday sermons, Friday fellowship here, and I said, the Lord is trying to make us go from glory unto glory, different heights, different levels of faith. But how do you go from this level of faith to the next level of faith? And to the next level of faith, how do you progress in that faith we are talking about? Is it that you have to fast more, or fast often, more often, or fast the longest fast? I know some men that have gone through 40-day fast and didn't get this thing either. They didn't get this supernatural that they thought they might get it after fasting 40 days. See, we were just meditating on this. Lord, what else? What more do I need? What more do I need to do? What else? What are you waiting for? It's another way to put it. What are you waiting for your believers, for the saints? We are to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. What is hindering us? Have you ever thought about that? You that is seeking after the Lord. Lord, what is hindering me? Or do you, maybe I'm already there. But if I am already there, why am I not seeing this manifestation of the sons of God, the supernatural we are expecting? What is missing? Then the Lord said, obedience. That is what I'm going to talk about today. Obedience. Amen? So what is limiting us is obedience. Praise the Lord. Father, help us to understand this. In Jesus' name we pray. So I'm going to talk about obedience today. Because the fullness of the stature of Christ is brokenness, yieldedness to the Lord, to the Spirit of God. And that brokenness is not the how much more you can fast, how long you fast, or how often you fast. It is those fasting may break the disobedience down. You have to remember, but the goal is obedience. Obedience. So if fasting is going to help your body or your spirit, it will help. If it is this, it will. But I'm going to talk on obedience today. But that is what is lacking that we need to work on. Amen? Now, what is obedience? Let's talk about disobedience. And I'm going to give some one or two stories in the scriptures of what God called obedience. And maybe one or two guys or great men that show disobedience. And when we say disobedience, everything that is disobedience is just is sin. But we are not talking of you, because we all know what sin is. If I say name is sin, everybody will, oh yeah, that fellow commit adultery. That fellow lies. That fellow did that. Everybody knows those are sins. But the obedience part is more subtle than that. But that disobedience, when God spoke to you or tell you something to do something and you don't do it, is just as a sin as far as God is concerned, as because the disobedience to go and commit adultery is just because you refuse to obey his word. That's disobedience also. But the one that could be so subtle, which you violated, is just as a sin as far as God is concerned. So let me give you an example. What could be disobedience? An example, what could be disobedience in the format I'm talking about before I go to give you the stories in the Bible. I have given an example. I say, suppose you as a minister, for example, a minister, you are not even a minister, but we are all gathered here, everybody come forward and we are praying for the sick, and everybody is praying for the sick, and you also, you have the Holy Ghost and you came forward and you are praying for anybody. And so you are praying. You could be the one praying, not the preacher, not the pastor. You could be the one praying on your seat there, and then people that needed healing were standing there, and the Holy Ghost can talk to you. See that man in white? Go talk to him. Lay your hand upon him and pray for him. You are just a member of the congregation. You are sitting on your seat, but you have the Holy Ghost, just like every pastor and preacher that are preaching. And the preacher has called some people together and praying for them. And as he was praying for them, the Holy Ghost spoke to you. See that fellow in white? Go lay your hand upon him and pray for him. Will you do it? What will be the reason why you will not do it? I can give you what you call gainsayings. The Bible calls it gainsayings. You may think, oh, well, gee, I've never done that before. Everybody will be looking at me. I'm not a pastor. But you have the Holy Ghost. Or you begin to gainsay and say, maybe that's just me. It's not God talking. Now, that is a little disobedience. Now, let's say, well, gee, because I'm not really familiar with the voice of God. So that is why I blew that. Now you get familiar with the voice of God, then he gave you that instruction. Then the self comes in. That self is self-consciousness. Everybody is looking at me. I'm not one of the pastors. That's a disobedience. Because now you are saying, I already know this is God talking to me. But you say, somebody say, oh, you know, I'm not like that. If God told me, I will go and do it. I've had people boast like that. If God tells me, I'll go and do it. Because he has not told you yet. And also not only because he has not told you, because even when it speaks to you, he allows the enemy to confront you. That is how the Lord brings up people. And that is how he breaks people down. We are like horses. If you have never known how the cowboys break horses, we human beings are like horses. Horse that needs to be broken before the obey who is riding over them. That is what we human beings are. And that is the obedience that God is talking about when he says, you guys are not there yet for him to come down and ride upon you and make you do what he wants to do. That is the obedience we are talking about. Take, for example, it's not just the, I give you that example of a layman that also have the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing with a minister of the gospel that the Lord is using. Because you say, well, the laymen really are not even expecting God to use them wonderfully. All these so-called ministers are waiting for a supernatural downpour of God. But why is God not using them now? Why have we not seen it? The same obedience is not yet fulfilled. I gave an example. I said, suppose as people are there and this minister is praying for them, the Holy Ghost spoke to him, don't pray for this one. Take him out outside the building before you pray for him. He knew it was the Lord and said, okay, follow me. He took the man out and he got to the door there and he saw that it was raining. And the devil whispered another voice. Step to the conference room and pray for him right there. The tendency of what is what? He saw the rain, that throws in some, kicking some response. And the voice, another voice, said, conference room. He said, okay, let's go to the conference room. He just forgot the instruction. He forgot that God knew there was rain outside there. But he changed the instruction. I went to the conference room and prayed. Nothing happened. Why? Disobedience. That is when God said our obedience is to be fulfilled. Those are all the things he's talking about. Those are the things. But how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? Maybe perhaps when we begin to know these things, we begin to say, no, I'm going to do what God says. Let me go to the story now of the Bible. Here is the story of a king that we all know. See, when your obedience is fulfilled, is what Apostle Paul said, your God will be in readiness to avenge every disobedience. When our own obedience is fulfilled. So these are the obedience we are talking about today. A story comes to mind, the story of King Saul. I want you to compare to see this dichotomy, is what people call it. In the story of King Saul, 1 Samuel, Saul was already made king. And then the word of the Lord came to him. It should be in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I will get the Bible verse I want to point to in a moment. But in that story of King Saul, Saul has just become king. And he has been waging wars for Israel, been leading them to battle. They won here, they won there, they won there. And then one day, this prophet Samuel came to him. In verse 1 of chapter 15, told him, the Lord made you to be king, thus said the Lord. Now listen to the instruction of God. This is a physical voice coming to him. Listen to the instruction of God. God said, I remember what Amalek did to Israelites when they were coming from Egypt. So now, go and destroy Amalek. Don't save anything. Destroy male, female, children, goats, cow, everything. Destroy it. And Saul was like, okay, let's go. And he called the soldiers. And they went and destroyed them all. The king of Amalek said, save me, save me. And he said, oh, everybody said, well, let's save the king of the Amalek. So they forgave the king of the Amalekites. And then the people were hailing because they have won. They said, king, king, look at this beautiful cattle. Let's save them for worship. And they saved some of the best of the goats and the cattle. And they forgot the instruction. That's simple, plain and simple. And then, this is the part that amazes me. This is what God spoke. When God spoke to Samuel, God spoke to Samuel in verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. God said, Saul has not performed my commandments. And let's see what Saul said in verse 19 and 20. Samuel prayed and cried and cried and cried and cried unto God that all that night. Then Samuel came in the morning to meet Saul. And Saul said, oh, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I just compared it to it. He said, gee, the same word, I have performed the commandment. And God said, he has not performed. 99% done. Oh, that's what we can say, 99% done. Just like God said. But God said, he has not performed. Like the example I gave, take this man, take it out and pray for him in the outside. God didn't tell him that it's rain, but God knew there's rain. How are you sure that it has to be rain, has to be falling before that demon can come out? There are some, we can even imagine it that way. There are some things, Christ said, this kind cannot go out by this way. But we may reason it out and say, well, step, just pray. It's not just pray. They brought a man to the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes were blind. But the Spirit told the Messiah, take this man, take him out of town. And I said, wait a minute, I don't have time for that. If I'm the one. But he took him out of town. He led the blind man out of town. How are we to know that it has to be outside the town before this man can be delivered? We can reason, well, maybe it's just because he didn't want the crowd. No, he took him out of town because the instruction was take him out of town. You see. So, like the example of the man that when they went to destroy Jericho. You remember the story, they destroyed Jericho and God said, destroy everything but save the gold things, anything of gold, save it for the Lord. And there was one guy who couldn't restrain himself, and he stole some of those things and kept it for himself. And I said, how are you sure that those demons they were told to destroy are not looking for something that is being saved so they can latch themselves with whatever is being saved? And the man just brought the host of demons back to the camp. There are many things we don't see that God sees. And that is one of the reasons why his instruction is to be obeyed to the letter. But the issue is our own obedience is not fulfilled because we reason it with our own environment. And then the devil shortchanges us in some of those things because he knows mankind that we can fall. So then the obedience God is talking about, he has to work it out in us so that we can come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's give you some of the Bible verse that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said about himself that made him to be the fullness we are looking for. Gospel of John. This is what the Lord said about himself that we are to emulate and surrender to that type of lifestyle. In Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So then if we now get to the bottom of disobedience, you find the root of disobedience. What is making somebody to disobey, especially when you know this is the voice of the Lord? What will make anybody say, I don't want to do it? It's because it does not jive with your flesh or your spirit. Or you are seeking your own will. That's another way to call it. You're seeking your own will. And Christ is saying, I seek not my own glory, but the glory of the Father which has sent me. Take, for example, if you sell a little boy and say, young man, sit down here, and the boy, your son, refuses to sit down. Why do you think he refused to sit down? Somehow, you say, we call it disobedience, but the question is, what is going on in his spirit that makes him not to want to do what the Father says? Perhaps you can say, maybe he thinks he knows better. That could be another way to put it. Maybe he thinks he knows better. Which means when we disobey God, somehow in our indirectly we are saying, no, I don't want to do that. I know better. So that is one of the things we have to begin to meditate and say, Lord, why will I ever want to disobey the Lord? Now, where we are, I'm still talking like a general right now. Let me bring it down. We're going to bring it down to our level in a moment. Because when God is talking about obedience to him, we also have to remember it started from obedience to this word. To this word that is the written word of God. Then you'll be able to hear him in the spoken word where he can begin to instruct you, whatever he tells you. Like I say, if you are in the you are one of the members of the congregation and the Lord speaks to you, come and lay hand on that guy. That's because he is now beginning to tune you to be able to hear him. And he will begin to talk to you like that when you are already obedient to the word of God. That's why you have the Holy Ghost. When he begins to talk to you, that you can hear his voice, say, hey, go and pray for that fellow when the pastor is praying for everybody, but he wants you to go pray for that fellow. Yeah, but that is because you are already marked for him to talk to you. So, but then he will not talk to somebody that will not do it, or that is not working on. So he's wanting to come to the level where you can begin to hear his voice. Every one of us is to come to that level, because he said in Ephesians chapter 4. When the Bible gave us this instruction in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. That this is the goal that God wants us. It's not just for some people. From verse 11, that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is the gift Christ has given into the body of Christ. He said it's for the perfecting of the saints. That is every one of us that are saints, called to be saints, we are to be perfected. For the perfecting of the saints is what all these ministries is giving for. And for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, for what purpose? Verse 13, till all of us, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the stature we are talking about, complete surrender to the Spirit, so that it is the Spirit that is leading us. Obedience. So different gradients of obedience also. And that is what we are faced with. That is our challenge as believers. Obedience to the word of God. Now I've given you the story of King Saul. And what did King Saul lose by that simple disobedience? He just lost the throne. People assume that he lost the throne, he has to be deposed. He was not deposed. He was still king for the rest of 30-something years. But he has already lost the throne as far as God was concerned. So you can read the rest of the chapter that we just read of King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Because Samuel said the Lord has chosen himself another person to be king. And he was not deposed until he died. That was King Saul. But already he has lost favor. It could be worse than that. He just lost favor and then he couldn't transfer the kingdom to his son. Because that was what it meant, that he could have kept the line, but God already had another plan. But there's another story of a prophet. You wonder, say, this is a king? Now you have a prophet. And another disobedience. Disobedience, king can be disobedient. A prophet can be disobedient. Just like a layman can be disobedient to God. So that is why that is our challenge, why we have not arrived there yet. That the Bible said, when our obedience is fulfilled, God will be in a readiness to avenge every disobedience. And people say, well, how have I not been obedient? Many people have asked that question. How have I not been obedient? They couldn't see it. They couldn't see how they are not obedient. Because they have kept all the laws. Because that's exactly what that man said. What more do I need to do? I've been keeping this all my youth. And the Lord said, okay, one thing you lack. Sell all these things you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Well, that is the part. We all think of it as the wealth that he has is his problem, the riches and so on. Well, the problem was what? The first law was what? To love God with all your heart. Every other thing he has been doing is loving your neighbor as yourself. Because those are people you could see, and he was doing that perfectly. He said, well, gee, I've been doing this all my life. But the part of it that said, love God with all of your heart, he didn't see how he was not doing that. It's almost like people say, well, how have I not been obedient to God? I don't know. I don't see why. I've been keeping all these laws, so what do you mean I'm not obedient? But if he gives you an example of Saul, where instruction comes, destroy them all, and he forgot that is to be watched jealously. Against your people, against your friends, against the people he was leading. He said that after he realized what he has done, he said, I have transgressed. I fear the people. And everybody fear the people most of the time. Almost everybody. Especially the people that are close to you that are expected to be believers. Because that is exactly the problem here. And he said, I fear the people. After he was confronted with it. So this is when God is saying obedience, this is the direction you should be looking at. Those are the areas you should be looking at. Because you are already obedient when you are not committing sins that are well known. But now if you want to get perfect, like Christ said, if you want to be perfect, he said, now come and love God more than you love yourself. Sell all those things and then come and follow me. You look at that as following this man. There's a word they use in the Nigerian language. Where somebody used it one time, I laughed. They saw this long robe that Nigerians usually wear, and they call it, Olente Leafa. If you don't know what that means, lazy people following the preacher. That is the name they use for that long robe that most of the Nigerian dress look like. Olente. When one sister called it, I laugh. I say, really? And in a way, that is what they coin people that are following the preacher. That's how they will be calling the apostles. Apostles following this man who is walking, he has no work. That's what they call it. They are lazy, they have no job. And that was what that man thought when he said, for me to sell everything and come and follow this preacher, I'm going to become poor. So that is the mentality. But God is saying that is an example of totally giving everything all. Because when you say obedience, it's giving off yourself to obey him. Now, there's an example the Lord just reminded me again. Let's take an example of the Lord Jesus Christ when he met this woman at the well. Gospel of John chapter 4. We are saying obedience is what God is waiting for, looking for in us. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, this is the story. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming from Jerusalem. They said he was weary. In verse 5, let me start from verse 3. This is the Lord Jesus and the apostles, they were coming. And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now let me jump to verse 8. He said, for his disciples, he sat, the Bible says he sat by on that well of Jacob. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So you know the story. The Lord Jesus Christ said, okay, you guys, go buy me some food. So we can assume then he was hungry. So he sat on that well. And then the Bible said a woman came. You know the story, this woman of Samaria came and started, the Lord started talking to the woman. And then the woman was convicted and the apostles came. When the disciples came, the woman realized that this is indeed whom he called himself, the Messiah. So the woman ran to the city to go tell the people that, come and see the Messiah. Now, where I was going with this story is right there when the woman was gone and the disciple said, Master, eat. There is the food we got to go and buy. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, I have meat that I have eaten that into you that you don't know anything about. That is in verse 32. After the woman has gone to the city to go call the crowd, verse 31 says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, I'm just referring to this story. What was going on? Somehow the Spirit said, don't eat right now. Somebody that was hungry, don't eat right now. They are coming. So he got to minister to them. So the Lord Jesus called that his meat to finish the Father's job. Now, that is loyalty. Think about that. It's just loyalty. The Lord can test you with that simple thing. You are so hungry and then say, well, that's not the time to eat. But there is food right here to eat. Don't eat it. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit, told him, don't eat yet. There's a job to do. And it takes obedience for you to do that. Many people will tell me right now that, oh yeah, I can do that. I always do that. When I have something to do, a lot of work to do, I put off food. Even there are mothers that will tell you that they do that all the time. Yes, but the problem here, or the issue here is, when you are in control, it's your business. You are in control of this business. Everybody does that. But when you are not in charge, and somebody else is telling you to do this, that is when it is a problem. When the Spirit was telling him to do it, that is when it's a problem. Because I gave up food too, just to get this job done. Parents give up food because they got to clean up this house. You are in charge, you are controlling, but let's say somebody else is the one dictating it to you. That's when you react and say, gee, no. That is where the obedience comes in. Obedience is what? Obedience is to the higher authority. Whoever is that higher authority. So let's bring it to our level then. Because when we say obedience, this is what the scripture says about obedience. It started from children, say, obey your parents. Amen? That is obedience. Children, obey your parents. Then God is going to be judging or weighing your obedience according to how you obey your parents when you are children. See, it is in that caliber. You can do some of these things when you are on your own. But when somebody is dictating to you, it is reacting with the flesh. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. This is some of the words of Apostle Paul. He said, by one man's obedience, remember, Adam disobeyed, and the whole world went into destruction. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed, and we are being saved. So you have to see, obedience is critical in the mind of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, you see another instruction about obedience. In that 1 Corinthians, put it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Because I said obedience, we have to bring it down to our level. It's in all these little instructions when you say, are you obeying the word first? Now, what has the obeying the word, what has that got to do with obeying God when God speaks to you? If he speaks directly to you in a voice or something like that. If you are obeying the word of God that is written down, you are being tuned to be able to obey his voice. See, those who are already obeying the word of God, then they are candidate to hear his voice. Then you find that it's like a training. You begin to be able to obey his voice. When Apostle Paul was talking about women be under obedience, is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The same way, he talks about we that are parents or fathers to do something else, to submit to the Spirit of God, to submit to the Holy Ghost, is part of the obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, Christ learned obedience by what he suffered. In short, how God is going to make you to get to that level is most likely it will be by the Lord squeezing you somehow. The Lord can squeeze you somehow. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. Because when we talk about obedience, I search the scripture, I say, can I find an example that can say, whom can I use as a good example of obedience? Somebody that really obeyed. And the only thing that comes to my mind, other than the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been pointing out, is Isaac in the physical world. Let's look at the story of Isaac. You will see that not too many people preach about Isaac, the son of Abraham. But that man was a great man. You say, well, what did he do? What did he do that made him great? Let's look at his life history of Isaac. You know, Abraham was 100 years old by the time he gave birth to Isaac. No, sir. And Isaac, for him to wait for a wife like he did, Abraham would have called him and sat him down and said, you are not to marry from this area among the Canaanites where we dwell. Maybe he told him when he was 35, maybe when he was 30, or he had trained him to know that he's not going to marry among these Canaanites. That is the first thing we want to talk about. Now, God actually spoke about Abraham that I know Abraham that he will command his children after him to obey God. So then you can say Abraham has that in himself to train, and he has programmed that in Isaac. Not so. He programmed. Just think about it. Do you think it's easy for any person to wait till he was 40 years old? In this generation, it looked like, oh, no, nothing. It's impossible for your father to beat one. And look at the kind of wife he got. Abraham sent somebody to go get a woman whom he has not dated. And he went, Mesopotamia, brought a woman, and the Lord has prepared a woman who has never seen this man, and just followed and said, I'm going. And he said, oh, maybe she was rejected, but he said she was pretty, she was not a reject over there. And he said, I'm going because God has prepared this thing. But the point is, Isaac waited and obeyed Abraham for that and accepted what he received without saying, well, gee, am I sure that if you have to send somebody, they will bring the one I like? No, he didn't say that. That is obedience. And the Lord also talked to Isaac at a point, said, hey, don't go to this place, stay right over here. He obeyed. And you can see the rest of the story of Isaac. He was a peaceful man all the time. And there's one key thing that marked Isaac. To the point that the kings all around they fear him. Not that he was a great warrior, they just fear him. Jacob, the son of Isaac, was swearing by what he called the fear of Isaac. Because he could see that something upon his daddy, that all those kings were afraid of him. He was just like a ruler of a village where the Philistines were over there. They are big people and the Amorites, and they feared him. Of course, he inherited all the wealth of his father, Abraham. But just a young man that the Lord has put anointing upon him, that all these kings came to make agreements. He said the king of the Philistines came and said, let's sign covenant between us and Isaac because of the fear of Isaac. And Jacob mentioned that he swore by the fear of Isaac because he knew something was upon his daddy. And that is what we are talking about. That how did he get that? Because he was an obedient son to his father. If you have never thought about Isaac that way, think about it that way. God is saying obedience is what he is looking for, waiting for in us. And this simple things is what we mean by the obedience. It started from, of course, you are born again. I'm talking to born again people. You are born again, you are following the scriptures. Now, be obedient in these small things that is going to make or break whether he is going to use you heavily, and whether you are going to grow from this level of faith to a greater level of faith. It is obedience to the Spirit of God that is going to lift you up there. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And in wrapping this up, because I'm going to wrap it up right now, The Lord wants me to talk a little bit about loyalty. Say, what is loyalty? What is obedience? When you are obedient, let's say you are a servant and you are obedient to that master, that he can count on you, you are always doing what he says you do, then what do you think? It's called you are loyal. He can trust you to go do something, you are going to do it. The story of some mighty men of David came to mind. I've preached about that a little bit in one of these Friday services. David had these mighty men that were serving him when he was king. And they mentioned them, they were categorized that some great, the first three mighty men, then there are other three, and then there are the other 30. And they categorized these three mighty men, what makes them to be mighty. And all we could see was loyalty to the king. Loyalty to the king. But loyalty comes when you are obedient to the king. And our king is Jesus now. The Spirit of God that is leading you is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of prophecy. And loyalty to him starts with obedience to his word. These scriptures that says, children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And don't make your children to be angry. And all those things, you are obeying that, then he's going to begin to want to use you. He speaks to you. Are you going to do it, or you are going to be yourself want to come into play? And that is the part of it that you have to begin to watch for. Now, I want to talk about this mighty man. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, briefly. And they listed this mighty man, and I want to point out to something that happened, verse 13 to 17. That's what I'm going to read. 2 Samuel chapter 23. To describe what loyalty really is, when we say obedience, and then what is loyalty. Chapter 23, I'll read verse 13. They say, and three of the 30 sheep went down. Well, they have mentioned some, the first three, and then they are talking of three of these 30 sheep. They went with David at a particular point. They were following David when David was running away from King Saul. And they were in a hole called, in a cave. And Bible said David lamented for some reason. He saw that there was a well at Bethlehem, and the Philistines were surrounding Bethlehem somehow. David was not fighting against the Philistines, but he was hiding from Saul. But he said the garrison of the Philistines was at Bethlehem. And David remembered that, oh, there was a well there. He felt like he would like to drink water from there. Verse 15 says, and David longed and said, oh, that one will give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Well, that is he more or less lamented, or he thinking out loud. He didn't send this man, he just thinking out loud. So this is the desire of David. That was his hometown. And he knew about that well. Oh, he has drunk from that well many times. That day he just said it, perhaps from the spirit, who knows. Now, I'm not sure it was really so thirsty that these people have to risk their life. But what they were describing here is they were describing loyalty of this man. And they said, when David longed for that water and his voice is out, like thinking out loud, verse 16 says, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. They have to fight through the army just to get to the well. And then they got the water, and they have to fight through the army back just to bring the water to David. And he said, why? For loyalty. They just were loyal to David. But the Bible said David will not even drink the water. David said, be it far from me, verse 17, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he will not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. They call them mighty because of that loyalty. And God is calling us to loyalty. Obedience to him. Obedience to the voice of the Lord that he wants to lead us with. And it takes brokenness. What we call surrender of your self-will, really is it. Our self-will, we have to surrender it to the Lord. Amen. I don't know what are your, and if you search some of these Bible verses, you will see that it's a characteristic that will be, some people may say, well, you know, I am close there. You can be close to this prayer. Christ saw somebody, he said, you are not too far from the kingdom of God. There are some that have this character already. They just need to be really touch some edges for them to get there. Others, they are way down there. They have that rebellious spirit, stubborn spirit. It's not in them, like we say. It may not be in him. So it takes a lot of struggle for God to get him there. Some already have this. Almost like saying some people are naturally gentle. That does not qualify them for heaven, but God can just do some finishing touches. Some are just completely low, rebellious, and God has to wrestle with them to get them there. So whatever level you are, obedience is what the Lord is waiting for. That is what we, saints of God, are wrestling with to get us to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. And if you know that, you say, I'm not there yet. You want to talk to the Father, let's stand up. You know that you are not there yet also. That obedience part of it, as I was giving examples, you can see yourself in some of those examples. You just say, go and pray for that fellow. I will be one of them that will be looking around. Somebody's looking at me. Or I will feel I'm not worthy. Or I will think it's me that is thinking it and not the Holy Ghost. Or I will think, well, there are many excuses that the enemy can throw at you. But you want to say, Lord, help me. So let's pray for ourselves. Lord, help me to be obedient. Help me to break down this flesh that always come against the spirit. See, the spirit wrestles with the flesh. Our spirit is to be in charge. You see, our flesh can come in the way. So let's talk to the Father. Just talk to him yourself. Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. That obedience thing, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. To obey you, to obey your voice. And as we exercise our senses to hear you, trying to hear you say something to us, are we ready to obey it? Touch us, Lord. Touch our spirit to be able to submit to that, your voice. Starting from obeying the scriptures, where it hurts, that make us sometimes look like fools for Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to submit our will to your will, so that it will be your will being done, not our own will, Lord. That is what you have prayed for, what you desire for us. He said, not my will, but thine be done, when it's going to hurt so much. Christ himself went through that. So he suffered things, and he learned obedience by what he suffered. Lord, teach us yourself, Lord, how to surrender this flesh to you in all these obedience things, so that we can be perfect and become like Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you need any prayer right now, you want me to pray along with you, you can step out. If you don't really think you need anybody to pray for you, you can talk to the Lord yourself. But if you want me to pray for you, we can pray for one another. Sometimes the Lord will let anointing flow, so we can lay our hand upon you and just pray. That obedience is critical in the mind of God, but it's something that we are all wrestling with. We are all wrestling with it. Lord, help me to be completely obedient, to be able to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. Lord, help me. And it will manifest, the disobedience manifests in many ways. It could be manifesting already in your life, in your Christian, in your household. That you just see that you are not able to submit to authority. Then that means God needs to squeeze you more. Your authority may be your parents. When you are children, your authority may be your husband, his authority over you when you are wife. Your authority may be your boss in the office, when you are an employee. And when they give some instruction that you just cannot do this and you wrestle with it more, that means the body needs to die to self. And those are the things we are talking about. And the Lord can help us. We also hearing the word of God and then submitting to it will help us. Just throw your hands up, you that have come forward, asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Break down this flesh, Lord. Break down this flesh that wants to resist the Spirit of God, that wants to resist the instruction of God, that wants to resist the will of God. So that I can say, not my will, Lord, let thy will be done. There are many occasions when the will of God is just contrary to our will, our desire, our self. And when you are able to surrender it, then the Lord is able to use you. The more we surrender, the more He can use us. The more we surrender, the more He can use us. And that's what we are asking for.